Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini Guy Mike Kegley, and I'm here with Illini Guy staff writer Matt Stevens and Illini Guy's director of recruiting, Kedrick Prince. We have had quite a day here in Champaign as we are going to talk a little bit about the really a blisteringly effective Illini win over a team that at least historically has been formidable, Wyoming. And of course, we also, before we get started, we do want to thank all of the Illini Guy fans who either came to the golf tournament. We loved our subscribers who wanted to play golf. We also had the event at Guido's last night that featured guests like David Williams, Keith Taylor, Craig Swope, D. Brown, Marcus Griffin, Kenny Battle, Sergio McLean. It was a lot of fun, and the subscribers who attended there got to meet a lot of great guys who have created a lot of memories for us. And of course, today at the tailgate, it was excellent to see tons and tons of people as we ended up giving out over 400 t-shirts to folks who enjoy the Illini Guys. And we also thank our partners at OSF Healthcare. Thanks for that. They were there working the booth and giving out t-shirts as well. So with that, let's talk a little bit about what we saw in this game, where the Illini had moments maybe where the passing wasn't quite as efficient as we'd like to see, had a couple, you know, costly penalties. But for the most part, we saw a dismantling of a Wyoming program that's well coached and also is quite a proud program. So Matt, let me tell us a little bit about your impressions on what we saw that was really good today.
Mike, I feel like there's been a lot of hand wringing about this Illinois program leading into this opener, especially on our board. And I feel like there's a situation in which, you know, you have a team that did everything it was supposed to do in its opener. And by that, I mean, you saw the defensive performance that you wanted to see. Wyoming did not get in the end zone. They scored a grand total of 6 points. They end today with 30 passing yards. They were one of 12 on third down, 0-1 on fourth down. I thought all three levels of your defense played at least average. I thought the defensive line played above average, and I thought the back secondary was very, 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 very good. And you wanted to see that. You wanted to see some form of passing efficiency. I think for the most part, in an opener with a brand new offense and a brand new quarterback and a set of wide receivers that, you know, you don't know who's going to step up if your name's not Isaiah Williams, and three new interior offensive line pieces. You saw a quarterback today go 27 of 37 for 194, two touchdowns, and did not throw an interception, and really didn't put a ball in harm's way. That he wasn't trying to fit into the window of a postage stamp. And I feel like we talked to Tommy DeVito after this game. He described it as fun. You know, I will write late tonight. I got a feature coming on Chase Brown, which again, you saw why Chase Brown's considered one of the best running backs in the Big Ten. I think he's even gotten better this year than what you saw last year, because there's a more patience. I thought those zone plays that they ran, you know, those outside zones, those trap plays that you saw, they are really, really effective because they have huge offensive linemen who are athletic and can get down the field and do those things. Those guards need to work on pass protection. The penalties are not acceptable. But I get back to Tommy DeVito, and welcome to the new world for Tommy DeVito. He leaves Syracuse, comes to Illinois, and at least in game one, he has a run game and he has pass protection. Those are things in 4 years at Syracuse he never had one day in his life. And he described today as fun. And I don't know if Tommy DeVito has felt that way about football since he left Don Prosco Prep as a four-star Elite 11 quarterback. And he also said, it was fun today to play football without carrying 1,000 pounds of weight on my shoulders and not have to be the savior of Syracuse football anymore. And I just think if Tommy DeVito is able to play free and loose, if that's free and loose out of Tommy DeVito, I think Illinois fans will take that 100 times out of 100. So there's just not that much to complain about today if you're an Illini football fan after this 32-point win.
Kedrick, you were obviously made the trek down to Champaign. What were your thoughts on the game that you got, had the opportunity to witness today?
Well, first, Mike, I want to also thank the members and the fans that came out to the golf tournament, to Guido's last night, and to Grange Grove. That was awesome. You know, for years, you know, we've seen these people on Twitter, never had a chance to meet them, and it was just really nice to have, you know, so many fans come out to support a lot of that guys. I truly mean that. It was great. It was great. I enjoyed every minute of it. As far as the game is concerned, I mean, to me, you know, Illinois fans have always just wanted a quarterback, and Tommy, I would like Tommy DeVito just to give you a chance. You know, Matt said it best, and I was prepared to say it. You know, he didn't put the ball in situations where Wyoming could get it. You know, Illinois just want a quarterback that can make the routine plays and give them a chance to win. I knew coming into this season, I mean, I'm not even going to lie and hide it. You know, I was lucky enough one time to talk to a coach on the staff, and they just told me, this is going to be different. They have the pieces to do well. The key is going to be, and this sounds like coach speak, is to stay healthy. And, you know, hopefully, you know, Josh is going to be okay, and, you know, he'll be able to play next week. But I know Bielema said he didn't think it was anything too serious. But I like what I saw. I like the defense. And one of the things I tweeted, I mean, I have to give credit to Coach Walters. He makes adjustments. I mean, the first couple plays, it seemed like, okay, here we go. But after that, he just knows and puts kids in positions to make plays. The kids were flying around. The run game was good, the pass game. I think Illinois is going to be really a tough out because they can run the ball so well and they can also throw it. You know, everybody was wondering who they were going to throw the ball to. I mean, I've talked about it myself, but I knew there was an opportunity. And I'll say this, and you two may disagree. I guess we'll see. I even think today that they held back a little bit. They don't want to show Indiana a lot because Indiana is a conference game. It's on the road next week. But I think the offense could be even better. I was happy to see Tommy settle in a little bit. Two concerns for me. Caleb Griffin, and it's only one game. I think that he left points on the board. And I think the team did as well, but the penalties and the kicking game and extra points, I like to see that clean up, but I'm not really going to complain. It's game one. It's not the end of the world. However, you know, if those things don't improve, it could cost them a few games. And Illinois is not great where they can make enough mistakes to say, hey, you know what, we're going to lose. We lost the game because of penalties or because of the kicking game. So overall, like Matt said, you have to be happy. I hope the fans who watch it on TV will be interested in coming out when they play Virginia, because I think this is a different team. You knew Bielema was going to win games. You know, we've all watched him, and the guy is confident. I think the whole university is in a good situation right now.
Yeah, and I got to be honest with you, and I was not real excited about the hire of Brett Bielema when he came on board. But the more that I have had the opportunity to be exposed and, you know, talk to him, increasingly as a guy who's worked in corporate America, for my career, I see him as more of a high level executive with the planning skills, and the execution skills that are needed to get results. And I think we're starting to see that in really short order. We've got a guy who's actually, I mean, look at this. All of a sudden, it's like the 11th biggest offensive line in the country. And he hasn't even, you know, let Tank Wright totally get, you know, a full year with a lot of these younger kids. So I think you're seeing a transformation here at Illinois. And I really think that, and I'm not trying to be a shill, but I'm just trying to tell you that these are some of the early wins that become big memories later on. And as Illini fans, those early days of Mike White, when they came out and started, you know, dive bombing teams with the aerial assault of Dave Wilson, you know, those were days that people are like, gosh, I wish I would have went to the game. And I do think that they've got to go to Indiana. There's no easy wins in the Big Ten, but they secure a road win there, and then they play Virginia here at home. That sets up as a huge game, and it would be great to see the Illini fans show up for you younger fans out there, this place, when you add the loudness of this stadium and you couple that with the whirlwind type of winds that come through this stadium, it's a very bad place to play for a visitor when the fans are motivated to make some noise. So we talked a little bit, you talked a little bit about Josh McCray, the injury that we could see on the video screen definitely didn't look there. Sometimes you see an injury that your heart sinks. This didn't look like one of those, although you never know with a knee injury, but it's good to hear that, that maybe it's not as bad as we had all thought. But aside from that, Matt, what did you see that the Illini are going to need to work on? Because I'm certain that Coach B is going to go after the dumb penalties.
Before we get into that, and I know you said aside from that, boss, so like normal, I'm going to like not do what you tell me to do. I have concern about Josh McCray. He left the stadium tonight on crutches, and that's never a good sign. Now, is it catastrophic where he's not going to be with the team the rest of the year? I don't want to go there yet. I don't want to go there. He's not going to be on the practice field next week. When you leave the stadium in crutches, that's a problem. And I feel like Josh McCray, you know, might be on the shelf for a little. And I think that's not out of the realm of possibility. The penalties is interesting to me because you're talking about a team that last year was the least penalized team in the Big Ten. And I think the one big, you know, red X that you would put on this game today is the penalties and the amount of flags. It's funny, though, because you talked a lot about Brett Bielema and the plan and the way that he's able to see things, not like Nostradamus-wise, but can kind of see things about where the pitfalls might be, you know, a week from now, a month from now, a year from now. And he told us on Thursday morning, the last time we got him in a media opportunity, this refereeing crew threw the most flags last year of any refereeing crew in the country. We think there's going to be some, you know, on Saturday, and we're going to have to figure out A, how to play through that, and B, how to be even more efficient in that regard. I think I was the one that asked him about that in terms of, you know, how does fall camp been in terms of playing clean? And he said he was very satisfied with how fall camp was, but he knew this refereeing crew was going to test them because their level of letting things go was not very high. And you could see that today. Their offensive linemen, their three interior offensive linemen, really struggled today in terms of being clean, in terms of the penalties. And I would say in pass protection, just kind of having the pocket sometimes crumble around Tommy DeVito. But again, I put that in perspective because Tommy DeVito talked to us after this game tonight. And the first thing he said was, "My body feels great." And I don't know when the last time that's happened when I played a full football game. And so Tommy will take that kind of pass protection 12 more times, because it will include a bowl game if that happens. The introduction of Barry Lenny Jr., you know, today to Illinois fans in a live game that counted. Four guys had four running backs averaged 4 yards a carry or more. 12 guys caught a pass. Okay. This Illini fan base experienced all of last year when 12 passes weren't complete in a game. 12 guys caught a pass today. 12 different players caught a pass today. There was an ability for a quarterback to make it through the progressions. And sometimes, as Ked pointed out, the progression was dump it off to the tailback and get 4 or 5 yards. Because I actually think the best thing and the worst thing that happened for Illinois was the 35-second opening drive that ended in a touchdown. Why was it the best thing? Because that's exactly what you wanted to show this fan base with this tempo offense, that they can go down the field and dog walk the ball down the field and score. The worst thing that happened was Wyoming showed up in Champaign thinking they were going to be able to play man in the back four, in the back five, and in the secondary. And 35 seconds in the game, they're playing zone. And when you're playing zone at that point, guess what? Now you're having to figure out what the defense is giving you and make chicken salad out of whatever secondary moves and defense is giving you on that pass play. And sometimes it was a check down to Josh McCray, and sometimes it was a check down, you know, to Brian Hightower for 4 or 5 yards. And so I wouldn't get too caught up today in how many yards they got per attempt and per completion. I feel like after that first drive, that's exactly what Tommy DeVito was given. And his objective, I think, in his own mind today was, do not put the ball in peril and do not give Wyoming points. you know, because my defense is going to play at a level that I think I don't need to help Wyoming score. And so I feel like from a proficiency standpoint, as you were talking about Mike Cagley, it goes down as a W today for Brett Bielema and his staff. And then to address the other problem that Ked saw, which is legitimate, but I do feel like Illinois fans have been a little spoiled in the place kicking game. Whether you're talking about James McCourt, you're talking about Chase McLaughlin, if you're going all the way back to Neil Rackers, okay? Hashtag college kickers on Twitter has not been a thing here in Champaign-Urbana for the last decade, but it's been a thing everywhere else in the United States of America. And so if Caleb Griffin misses a 52 yarder, guess what? College kickers are going to miss that sometimes, you know, and probably more than 50% of the time. The one that bothers me the most is the early one. I think it was a 42 yarder that he just flat shanked. I mean, and he would be the first one to tell you that he made up for it, made some field goals. I think the thing that you're going to like about Caleb is the leg strength is there where he took two. I mean, Brett Bielema mentioned it. He took two kickoffs into the wind and put them in the end zone and had made Wyoming start on the 25. So from a specialist standpoint, I think Sean Snyder is going to have Caleb Griffin by the middle of this year, where maybe Caleb didn't even see him at that, you know, in his career. And just for the future of Illini fans, David Alano, the five-star kicker, was here in the stadium today watching Caleb Griffin miss that 51-yarder, and I have seen that young man who kicks right now for Naperville North make that kick pretty consistently and even further along and even further back. So the future is bright with Illini kickers, whether or not Caleb Griffin stays for beyond a year. But in this year where he gets to work with Sean Snyder, I don't know if you'll see that type of struggle. But if you do, also – and I know this is going to be hard to convince Illini fans, but Brad Mielema might decide to go for it on fourth down in those situations a little bit more, simply because I don't have a kicker like James McCourt who can bail me out from 50-plus yards all the time. And, again, Illinois fans have been used to James McCourt booming 50-yarders, Chase McLaughlin booming 50-yarders and ending up on an NFL team. That doesn't happen everywhere in the country. And I think you saw in game one that's an Achilles heel for Illinois, but everything else that I think Illinois fans wanted to see, by the way, Illinois called 81 plays today, 40 of them were passes and 41 of them were runs. Okay. So everybody that wants the balanced attack that you've been talking about on our football boards here on Illini guys, all summer and spring long, you got it today in a 32-point win. So I go back to the fact that there's just not that much to complain about in a game where I think there was a lot of hand-wringing about, boy, I really want them to look impressive. After about 4 hours and four quarters of football, I think Illinois looked pretty darn impressive.
Ked, what were your thoughts?
Well, I like the win, even though Wyoming is not Northwestern. But can you imagine being Nebraska right now? I'll tell you what, I'll take the win. Just, you know, I don't want to just rehash everything Matt said, but here's the deal. You want to see improvements. You want to see hope. You want to see some imagination on offense. They weren't predictable. And I'm sitting in the press box with Brad Sturdy, and I'll tell you, one of the things we said last year when it was 20 seconds to go to end the half, they would have took a knee. They tried to get the ball down the field. That is what a Division One, aggressive Division One football team looks like. I like that. I like everything that I saw today. And I think what they, you know, I think they put themselves in position to where they can run the ball, or if they have to pass it, they can pass it. I mean, I'm not saying that Tommy DeVito is going to win the Heisman. I'm not that stupid, but I can tell you it's been a long time since I've seen a quarterback, you know, after, you know, it took him a while, you know, the first quarter, but after a while, you know, he missed some throws, but just make routine plays. And even when the passes weren't good, they were not in position so the defender could get it. I will tell you this. I'm saying this because of where I live in the Quad Cities. You know, Brett Bielema, you know, told people in his press conference a couple weeks ago, they were asking about the freshman class. And one of the guys, he mentioned four or five guys tonight, but I really want to tip my hat to Moline's Matthew Bailey. Here's why. This kid had three or four Division I offers, Western Illinois, South Dakota, UNI. And Iowa wanted him to walk on. And here's why I want the fans to listen to this. This is important. My job is to do recruiting. Recruiting stars are great, and rankings are great. It's good for, you know, for coffee talk. It's great to go to Starbucks and talk about recruiting rankings, but the staff have to give credit to. You know, Matthew Bailey was not a 4 or 5 star recruit. And here, and you look at his body transformation. I watched this kid in high school. His body, Tank has done a wonderful job with this kid's body. And this kid's on a 2D depth chart. And he's coming in, and he was the first guy, first freshman, that Coach Bielema talked about tonight. So I tip my hat to Matthew for one, but also just give the coaches credit. It's not about rankings all the time. You got to see these kids and look at talent and what fits your roster. Brad Underwood has done that, and you can clearly see, and Matt talked about the offensive line and the defensive backs. They are putting themselves to get a roster of what they like to make them the most successful. And Bailey is one of those kids. So I applaud the staff to just not say, to say, hey, you know what? We got to recruit this kid because he's a 5-star. If they don't fit your system and what you need, what is the point? That kid had a chance to a pick 6 today. He looks the part. I'm just impressed, you know, and again, I know the people from the Quad Cities are happy because this kid was overlooked and Iowa won on. He's not in the scholarship and he's playing at Illinois. So I was really impressed with that. And Bielema, not afraid to give these kids an opportunity to play.
Yeah, and that's a good point because early on as the godfather of recruiting his talk, as Brett Bielema builds this program, you know, they're not going to go beat Ohio State. They're not going to go beat Michigan for a lot of recruits. So that means Brett Bielema's got to find guys who maybe are the players that look good to him, the players that he's had, you know, similar to he's had success with in the past and work in his system and get some of those people and beat the star system a little bit. And then obviously as Illinois gets better and better, they will have the opportunity to grab some stars and start competing on that way. So all in all, a really good week. I'm going to go real quick back to Matt for any final thoughts, and then I will wrap things up. Matt?
I'll wrap it up with two quick thoughts. One is at the quarterback position. I said to our subscribers and, you know, in the message board, if you could get 2019 Brandon Peters at quarterback this year, is this team going to a bowl game? And the reason I asked it was because I think the answer is yes. Well, in 2019, Brandon Peters opened the year against Akron. He was 15-25 for 194 and 3 touchdowns. He then went to UConn and went 24-35 for 227 and 4 touchdowns. That's the kind of stats that I think Tommy DeVito would be thrilled with, you know, in these first 4 games where Illinois is trying to win 3, if not 4 games before Brett Bielema goes back home to, you know, with Madison, Wisconsin on October 1st. So if you can get the kind of game that you got out of Tommy DeVito today in Bloomington, you'll pick up the upset win and go 2-0. If you can get this kind of game out of Tommy DeVito in week 3 here, back here in Champaign against Virginia, it gives you a chance to beat an ACC team that is coming off a bowl season. So that's the kind of, I mean, you're not asking Tommy DeVito, you know, to be, you know, Dan Marino. You're not asking him to be a guy that's going to go in the first round of the draft. You're not asking him to do, you know, what, you know, the, you know, Malik Willis and all the other guys that got drafted last year, you know, close to the second round, first round, you know, did. I mean, you're not asking him to do that. You're asking him to do exactly what he did today. And I think it gives Illinois a great chance to win. The other thing I thought of that I thought was really strange today is, and I agreed with Brett Bielema, you saw the portal at work today for the University of Illinois football program. And I'll just mention it again. Tommy DeVito, transfer portal quarterback, gets you a W and played really, really well. Brian Hightower comes as a 4-star kid from Miami, Florida, did not play last year, catches 4 balls today and was a big contributor on this team. You saw 2 offensive linemen at a JUCO start and play at guard and kind of had some rocky moments, but looked really, really good in the run game. And you saw Isaac Darkangelo take a lot of snaps. Like I told Mike Cagley in the preview, you were going to see him a lot, you know, D2 transfer and coming out of the portal. You saw Calvin Hart Jr. again, make his return to Illinois after missing all those games after the Nebraska opener last year. That's transfer portal. You saw T-Raw Edwards, you know, supplement what Calvin Avery did today. And I thought that young man, after being a 4-star recruit, And we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for him to play really well. Calvin played really well, but T-Rob played really well behind him. RJ Wilkins played really well at that nose guard position. Those are all transfer portal guys. Why am I bringing this up? Because this is Brett Bielema being able to go to the transfer portal with no bullets in his gun, practically, against everybody else in the country, and being able to go get some of these transfer portal results. Imagine what he can do if you can put some NIL, pay-for-play, bullets in his gun, and then he gets to go to the transfer portal. Because you saw it at work today, and then I think at another level, when he has the bullets and has the resources, it could be really special. Like what, say, I don't know, they do across the street when Brad Underwood does in his office in the transfer portal. I'm not saying that that's out of the question either. So I think there are a lot of talking points and teaching points for Brad Underwood as they start the preparation tomorrow night for Indiana in a short week. But I think everybody from offense, defense, special teams, and then the coaching staff can chalk this down in pen as a W today because of what they saw, what they can build off of, and basically what they – every question you had about this team did something pretty spectacular to leave you thinking, you know, 11 or possibly 12 more games, you know, what happens if they get better over 4 months? And I think that there's a lot of encouraging. I thought Mike Cagney said it best in our game room as we all left the field. For the final time at the final gun, there just wasn't a whole lot to complain about today. And I think it's a pretty refreshing start to Brett Bielema, who, by the way, is now 2-0 in season openers here at Illinois at Memorial Stadium.
And I will note that so am I, as when I'm here covering. So we know there's a causal connection there as well. Ked, any final thoughts from you?
I think he said it best. Just be happy to win. There's not a lot to complain about. Now, next week will be a big test, and I'm really curious to see what they'll do offensively and defensively next week against Indiana, Big Ten. I'm not saying this is the season, but this puts them in position to go 4-0 if they can do it. Every year they lose a game that they shouldn't lose. Let's see if they've grown up and mature enough to get that win.
Yeah, it's really good to see. I got to be honest with you. You don't want to wish time away, but I can't wait until Friday night. This Illini team was, a lot of fun to watch tonight. So we will keep you updated on IlliniGuys.com on how Josh is doing. We will obviously, I know fans are pulling for him, and let's hope that it's a minor injury. May not be, but again, you get to the point where if a young player like that doesn't have to have knee surgery or doesn't have to miss a whole season, you feel like you dodged a bullet for them, especially when they put, 9 months into preparing for a season and then, get to play half of a game and then they're out. So we're hoping that doesn't happen to Josh. One final note. Now, you've heard a lot of stuff about Illini guys. I want to go through real quick. $99 a year is what it costs. You can come in, you get 7 days to kick the tires. You got to go back to our forums or message boards. That's where we can put all the information that we can't put out there on the latest recruiting news. You find out about things before they happen. You find out about the backstory, about why they happen for both football and basketball. And it is truly a lot of fun. It takes your fandom down to the next level. And you really get much more involved in the journey of the Fighting Illini teams. So take a look at that. Of course, we also have other podcasts as well. Ked has Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where he talks to the recruits. He talks to the coaches who coach recruits, and he talks to the parents of the recruits. And he can give a great amount of insight into what it's like to be pursued by a major school like Illinois to play football, basketball, baseball, soccer, what have you. And it's a fascinating look, and it's not your typical, we need to sign this guy from the point of view of the coaches, but it's from the point of the view from those people being chased. A lot of fun. Brad Sturdy does his Sturdy for 30. He was working on some guests as we were here today, lining up guests for his show. Always good. And of course, you have Eye on the Illini, which we try to do a couple times a week. We've got some great ideas there that are becoming as well. So please look at those. And the last thing is the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. is out there and rocking and rolling on the radio stations. It's on 31 signals on 21 different stations across Illinois, from Chicago to St. Louis. We got you covered. Go ahead to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and try to figure out when we're going to be on at a station near you, what day and what time. And if you listen to our show, if you listen to our podcast, we ask you to do two things. One, if you're listening to the radio show, call up the radio station, tell them thank you. And two, if you're listening to us on a podcast, please subscribe to the podcast and give us a 5-star rating. With that, I am going to say goodbye and go Illini.